Psalm 19:14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Psalm 19:14. Psalms 118:8. It is better to trust in the word of the Lord than to put confidence in man. Psalm 118:8. Proverbs 11:2. When pride comes, then comes disgrace, but with humility comes wisdom. Proverbs 11:2. Proverbs 16:16. How much better it is to get wisdom than gold, and good judgment than silver. Proverbs 16:16. Proverbs 29:11. A foolish person lets his anger run wild, but a wise person keeps himself under control. Proverbs 29:11. Would you open your Bibles this evening, please, to the book of Romans, chapter 5, verse 2. Romans, chapter 5, verse 2. It's going to be our privilege to be looking at verses 1 through 5 of the book of Romans tonight, and then again when we return from our vacation on a Wednesday night, on the next Sunday, and on the following Wednesday night. We'll be looking at these verses, and then beginning on the first Sunday in August, we'll begin a study in the book of Revelation. So we're looking forward to this study. I trust that you are also. We will have a magnificent time as we plunge into this magnificent book, the book of Revelation. I'm not promising you how far we'll go, but I promise you we will be taking it a little at a time and determine what God's Word has to say to all of us. Tonight we're looking at Romans 5:2. We'll begin our reading in a moment with Romans 5:1 and read down through verse 5. But we'll spend, first of all, a few moments in prayer before we begin our reading. May we pray together, please. Father, we're thankful tonight for another wonderful opportunity to focus our minds upon the truths of your wonderful Word. The Word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. We have the wonderful responsibility of studying and advancing spiritually. We thank you so much tonight for the wonderful provisions you've made for us, salvation by grace, the wonderful ministry of the Holy Spirit since we live in this time called the church age, a wonderful time between Pentecost on the one hand and the rapture or the resurrection of the body of Christ on the other hand. And so this is a wonderful time for us to be alive, a challenging time as we grow in grace and knowledge of our wonderful Lord and Savior. We're thankful then not only for positional sanctification, experiential sanctification, but we're thankful for the fact that we know that one day soon for all of us, we're going to be leaving this life and we'll be in the presence of our Lord. Not because of our goodness, not because of anything we've done, but totally because of the fact that we've received that gift, the most wonderful gift that could ever be received, and that's the gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. And so as we come again to this magnificent verse, in these verses, we pray that we will have open minds and open hearts, and that we'll be ready to receive that which you have for us. We pray and thank you for every blessing, in Jesus' name. Amen. We begin our reading with verse 1 of Romans chapter 5. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we exalt in hope of the glory of God. Verse 3 of Romans chapter 5. And not only this, but we also exalt in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance, proven character, and proven character, hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who was given to us. On the screen you see Romans 5:2. We've already analyzed this verse But we're going to look at it for just a few moments to review. This verse of Scripture emphasizes the fact that God has for us a magnificent and wonderful future. That future is dependent upon our relationship to Him. And this says, through whom also we have had access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. It is important tonight for me to point out some words for you. The first one is to point out the fact that this says we have had access by faith. What I'd like to do is to take a few moments and point to a particular word for you to be able to see. I want you to see that this is an emphasis upon the fact that it says, through whom, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, also, and that's an emphasis here by the little Greek word kai. And then we have the word, we have had access, understood by faith. Now let me point out the fact that this is an emphasis upon something that has already taken place in your life and in mine. I do not know just exactly when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. You may have done it when you were a little child. You may have done it as a teenager. You may have been a young adult. You may have been an older adult. I do not know, but you remember, of course, that there was a point of time when you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. What I need to point out here is that this particular verb is showing us that salvation is a gift of eternal life. It is not a gift that lasts for a day or two or a week or so or a month or so. It is a gift that lasts forever. And that's the reason why we have an emphasis in the Word of God on the eternal security of the believer. That's the reason I want to point out to you that the little Greek word here is the word echo. The word echo means to have and to hold. Now, I can spend a lot of time there, but I want to show you how the word is used in this particular verse. If you'll notice, it has here an emphasis upon how the word is used. It's a perfect, active, indicative, first person plural of the word echo. I stop with you to let you see that when we have a perfect tense verb indicated by this PF right here, it emphasizes something that has taken place in the past, was consummated in the past, and the result of that which has taken place continues to this very present moment. So no matter whether you were a child or a teenager or a young adult or whatever your age was when you accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, God didn't sponsor a flop. God worked the miracle of transformation in your life. And this verse of Scripture is teaching us that that was a consummated act, and that act continues to this very present moment. I could spend more time there, but let's go on. This Scripture says, through whom, Jesus Christ, also we have had access by faith into this grace. When I look at the word grace there, I understand that it is an emphasis upon that which God does for us. We understand that there's an emphasis here upon the fact that we have access, we have approach to God, we have a face-to-face relationship with Him, we have a relationship with God whereby we're acceptable to Him, which is a beautiful thought indeed. We have a relationship with God whereby we are acceptable to Him. That's the reason why this says we have, at a point of time, and we still have it now, access by faith into this grace. We move along rapidly and see that it says, in which we stand. The word stand is also an interesting word. It is a word which means fixed or established. It is a word which means to make firm. It is a word which means to keep intact. It is a word which means to be constant. It means to continue to be safe and sound. It means to be able to stand unharmed. It means to stand prepared. It means that we do not waver. This is simply saying that we do not walk into grace and then walk out of it. It simply emphasizes that we walk in and God puts our feet on solid ground and we're standing firmly in grace. Let me show you what that means. It is used by the word histeme, which is H-I-S-T-E-M-I. Again, you can see that the word is a perfect tense verb, perfect active indicative, first person plural. Now, I could get excited about this, but I need to move along because I have a lot to tell you. But I do want to remind you that the type of verb we have here is the same type of verb that we have up here. Through whom also we have had access by faith, the same type of verb. We stand, the same type of verb. Now we're going to see something very wonderful, and that is we rejoice upon hope of the glory of God. Let me remind you that the word rejoice here is the Greek word kakomai. The word emphasizes inner peace, inner confidence, inner joy. In other words, that's what we're emphasizing tonight, is triumphant, confident anticipation. When you look at the point of salvation, you're aware of the fact that God has already worked in your life and mine the miracle of transformation. And so there's confident anticipation in relationship to what has been done in the area of salvation. You and I are living up on this earth right now. Now, I thought you didn't know that, but I thought I'd better remind you. We're living on this earth right now. And the reason that you're still alive and the reason I'm still alive is that God has a reason and a purpose for our existence. He wants us here or He would have already taken us home. This simply means that your existence and my existence and our continuation to live is an evidence of God's grace in your life and mine. Please, please, don't ever take that for granted. Be aware of the fact that there are a lot of people who were here yesterday who are not here today. This simply means that they have already gone home, either to heaven or to the other place. It is not for me to say where they've gone because I don't know who I'm talking about. I'm just talking about people in general. But I'm sure that you're aware of the fact that there are a lot of people who plan to be here for a number of weeks or months or years yesterday who are not here today. But I want you to see that this is saying to us, we're here now. And we have a responsibility while we're here now. And it says that what we're to do while we're here now is to rejoice. To rejoice upon hope of the glory of God. There's no way for you and me to be happy in this life unless we're properly related to the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to know that Satan desires that you not be properly related to him. And I want you to know that Satan desires that I not be properly related to him. So you and I must realize that we have a sinful nature. I'm going to share something with you right now and I'm going to let you think about it. I plan to do this later, but since it's so prevalent in my mind, I will do it right now. All of us tonight are equipped with what is known as emotion. You probably need to think about your emotion. I need to tell you that you and I have emotion. And the emotion that you and I have has been designed by the Heavenly Father to be a responder. It's just like a wife being a responder to her husband. That was God's plan. And that's beautiful. It is wonderful. The emotion does not contain biblical concepts. The emotion was designed for you and me to be a responder. Now, what we can do if we're not careful is that we can change our emotion to become something other than a responder. It can become an aggressor. And when the emotion, which contains no truth of God's Word, becomes an aggressor in the aggressive mode, then what happens is that the emotion falls back and begins to pick up the rulership and the direction of the old sinful nature. Now, if you're listening very carefully, you're going to be able to see how fantastic this is. When the system which God has given us, which is emotion, which is designed to be a responder, when that moves into a form of aggressiveness, then what happens is that the old sin nature takes control. And when the old sin nature takes control of our emotion, then that moves us into all kinds of mental attitude sins. We will be involved then in mental attitude sins. We'll be involved in gossiping. We'll be involved in saying things that we shouldn't be saying, thinking things we shouldn't be thinking. Rebellion. There are many things, and I don't need to go into all of those. All I'm trying to do is to let you see that this verse of Scripture is telling us that we have the responsibility of rejoicing in the Lord. Now notice how the word is used. It is the Greek word kakomai, which is K-A-U-C-H-A-O-M-A-I. When I look at a word in the Greek and I see O-M-A-I at the end of it, I know that that is what is known as a deponent verb. I don't need to get into all this other than to tell you that I looked at this and I was able to see that this was a deponent verb. I was able to look at it and see that it's the present tense. And that simply says that God's plan is for us while we're living on the earth to be continually, constantly rejoicing, having something about which to rejoice, not being under the control of our sinful nature, not being under the control of our emotions, but being under the control of the Lord Jesus Christ and His Word. But did you notice something else right here? Did you notice that there's an M right there, which says the subject participates in the action and is going to be benefited thereby? Now, let me move away from this rapidly, even though I want to stay longer. I want you to see that this is telling us that if we're not under the control of our emotions, if we're not under the control of all of the aspects of the sinful nature, if we're under the control of the Spirit of God and the Word of God, then we have the ability to continue to rejoice. And that's the reason why we have there a middle voice. And then quickly let me say that the last point is the indicative mood, which is the mood of reality. A beautiful word that's used here. This word is used over and over again in these five verses of Romans 5, 1 through 5. And it's the word that's used right here. It's E-L-P-I-D-I, Elpidi. It comes from the original word elpis, which is a word for hope. The other day I responded to you in saying that a lot of people say, when you ask them the question, do you know you're going to heaven? And they say, well, I hope so. And you've had people to say that to you. I put down in my notes, different people use the word hope in different ways. For instance, I put down, I hope he gets well. I hope he gets well. When you hear that expression, it somehow emphasizes somewhat of a fear of whether or not that person is going to get well. So there's fear in that hope. I put down another hope. I hope things will work out okay. In other words, I hope things will work out okay, which is a sign of uncertainty. And so there's a use of the word in different ways. But when we come to the Scripture, and I'm going to read these again to you in a few moments. When we come to the Greek word hope, it is the word which means constant. It is the word which means determination. It's the word which means settled. It's a word which means divinely decreed. The word hope is used, and let me read it to you. We'll pick up with verse 2 of Romans 5. Through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we exalt in hope of the glory of God. Verse 3. And not only this, we also exalt in our tribulations. Now I want you to know that very quickly I could tell you that would say, is there something funny about this? Is this saying that we can be excited and exalting in times of tribulation and distress and difficulties? Well, let's read on. Knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance. And perseverance, proven character. And proven character, hope. Now, if you're following along, you're seeing that there's a travel, a road. And he's saying you're going to be emphasizing hope, and then there are going to be some other things you're going to travel around, and then it's going to come out hope again. And then I'm going to look again and see what verse 5 says. And hope does not disappoint. Why? Because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts by means of the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Oh, I knew you would want to take some notes, so let me begin. Hope means desire. Job, for instance, spoke of rest and security in hope. Job spoke of rest and security and hope in Job chapter 11, verses 13 to 18. And I read these now. If you would direct your heart right and spread your hand out to Him, if iniquity is in your hand, put it away and do not let wickedness dwell in your tents. Job chapter 11, verse 15. Then indeed you could lift up your face with moral defect, and you would be steadfast and not fearful. Job chapter 11, verse 16, for you would forget your trouble as waters that have passed by. You would remember it. Verse 17, and your life would be brighter than noonday. Darkness would be like the morning. Then you would trust because there is hope, and you would look around and rest securely. Now I realize that just a quick reading of that doesn't get it into our hearts and minds. But let me simply say, number one, Job 11, 13 to 18 says that there's rest and security in this kind of hope. Number two, the psalmist spoke of hope in mercy in Psalm 71, verse 5. For Thou art my hope, O Lord God. Thou art my confidence from my youth. And then Psalm 33:18. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who are occupied with Him, on those who hope in His righteousness. Now I need to remind you that Psalm 71:5 and Psalm 33, verse 18, says that God gives us mercy, and there's hope in that mercy. Number three, the Apostle Paul, in writing the Roman believers in Romans chapter 15, verse 13, says, now may the God of our hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's Romans 15, 13. Could I ask you tonight, if your life has somewhat been frustrated and bewildered and confused in past days and weeks and months, or in the last few hours? Well, you need to listen to this verse, Romans 15, 13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. God does not want us to go 1 minute outside of harmony with Him. And when we find ourselves out of harmony and out of fellowship, we need to get back right quick-like and move right on. Romans 15, 13. Number four, hope is the anchor of the soul. I wrote myself a little note here to read this, but I want to say some other things, so I'm going to just ask you to write this down. Hope is the anchor of the soul. The writer of the book of Hebrews gives us this in the 6th chapter, verses 17, 18, and 19. I love that passage of Scripture, and I really plan to read it and expound on it. But let me quickly say, Hebrews 6, 17, 18, and 19, that hope is the anchor of the soul. There's one other point that I want to mention here is 1 Peter 1, 3, and 4. Hope, the scripture says, is laid up for us in heaven. Now listen to this one. 1 Peter 1, 3, and 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now we all understand that. That's 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. It is saying that what has happened to us is that we've been born into God's kingdom. It's all because of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. But then verse 4 says, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable. To obtain an inheritance which is undefiled and will not fade away. Reserved for us in heaven. Confident expectation. Confident desire. When I look at the word confident hope, confident expectation, I jotted some words down. Optimism, courage, faith, anticipation, trust, expectation, a belief in good outcomes. All are we reminded tonight of the fact that we have an inheritance reserved for us in heaven? How long will it be? Some of you younger folk may just precede me. I do not know. The Lord may allow me to live another day or another year or a few more years. I don't know. But I want you to know that some of you may even precede me. But this verse of Scripture is so fantastic. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His great mercy, what has He done? He's caused us who have been born again to be the possessors of a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Then it says in 1 Peter 1, 4, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable, undefiled, and will not fade away, reserved for us in heaven. I don't want to leave on vacation without giving you these points. Confident anticipation. We're going to look at these briefly tonight. I would like to spend a lot more time, but I want to let you see how fantastic this is. At the point of salvation, we did not see the blessings of maturity. At the point of salvation, we did not see the blessings of maturity. I do not know how far you've advanced over a period of weeks or months or years that you've been a believer in Christ. But I promise you that at the point of time when you were saved, you did not have the ability to comprehend the blessings that God had in store for you as you advanced to the point of spiritual maturity. And wherever you are in your spiritual advance, if you're an adolescent, if you're a young person in your spiritual advance, or if you're a young adult, or if you're an older adult in your spiritual advance, or if you are traveling up the highway of God's grace as an advanced believer, I promise you, you still, and I still do not know exactly all the blessings that God has in store for those who are advanced believers. If we only knew, we'd quit fooling around. If we only understood, if we only comprehended what great blessings God has in store for believers who reach the point of spiritual advance, we would not be wasting time dealing with anything that's insignificant and unimportant. Do you follow what I'm saying? I believe you can comprehend this. But I want you to see that at salvation, we do not see the blessings of maturity. Number two, the blessing of imputed righteousness gives us hope of having these blessings. The hope is anticipated expectation. Hope means the ability to anticipate God's blessings. At salvation, we didn't see those blessings of maturity at all. But as we've begun to advance, the blessings of imputed righteousness have begun to give to us hope of having these blessings. In other words, the more we grow on a day-by-day basis, the more we're able to comprehend that God does have some outstanding and great blessings for us. Number three, at maturity, we do not see the blessings of eternity. But imputed blessings gives us confident anticipation or hope. What we're saying here is that one imputation gives hope for the next imputation. Some of you are saying, well, preacher, would you tell us again what imputation means? Imputation simply emphasizes what God places into the life of a believer. At the point of salvation, you and I became the recipient of imputed righteousness. In other words, God worked the miracle. We had absolutely nothing to offer Him. We have nothing to give Him. As a lost person, we don't have anything. We're depraved, we're sinful, we're lost, we're undone. And God works the miracle. And when God works the miracle, we become the recipient of imputed, placed in, put in, His righteousness. Can you see how fantastic that is? Can you see how wonderful that is? And at that point, we have no idea of what God has in store for us as far as blessings in relationship to what will happen to us if we continue our spiritual advance. If we will continue our spiritual advance and major on the major aspects of life and minor on the minor aspects of life, and when we're tempted to get off the track, get right back on the right track and keep on pressing forward. The Apostle Paul says, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. If we want an example, let's go and follow the example of the Apostle Paul. If you really want to get a taste of what happened in that man's life, go back to the 9th chapter of the book of Acts. And there you'll find a cruel, mean, ungodly individual who would be so happy if he could see a Christian die. And yet we discover that God worked the miracle of grace in his life. And let me tell you something. Because of the fact that God worked that miracle of grace in his life, God then transformed Saul of Tarsus to the Apostle Paul, who has become the man of grace, who has given us all these New Testament books that presents God's grace to all of us. The blessings of imputed righteousness gives us hope of having these blessings. If we ever reach the point of maturity, at that point, we will not see the blessings of eternity. But imputed blessings gives us confident anticipation. This is the reason why someone said that a fellow was walking along the highway of life. And he walked and he walked and he walked. And someone said to him, don't you think you ought to turn around and go back home? And he said, you know what? I'm enjoying my walk. He was using this as a spiritual presentation and application. And he said, I trust that I'm nearer home than I'm nearer my earthly home. That's the way it should be in your life and mine right now. When I think in terms of my age and when I think in terms of how the Lord has blessed me over these years, And when I can tell you, they tell me that when you get my age, you begin to brag about how old you are. I guess that's where I am, because I'm always glad that I can tell someone how old I am, because I'm thankful that the Lord let me live another day. But I promise you that I'm near a home, that home, than I am that one back on the farm where I grew up many, many years ago. I have news for you, and that is, there's coming a day, and I do not know when for you or me, but the more I study God's Word, the more I begin to anticipate and contemplate what heaven may be like, even though we don't have all the answers about it. I want you to know that I'm able to draw some conclusions, and it gives me confident anticipation, which is hope. In other words, one imputation gives hope for the next imputation. Let's go to number 4. Imputed righteousness is the hope for blessings in time. That's where we're living right now. We're living in time. Right now we're living on this earth in time. You said that. Yes, I did. But I want you to realize that we're living on this earth right now in time. We measure things by time. We think in terms of yesterday. We think in terms of tomorrow. We think in terms of today. We think in terms of hours and minutes and seconds. We think in terms of days and weeks and months. We're on this earth. It's time. Imputed righteousness is the hope for blessings in time. And then number 5, the resurrection body is the hope for blessings throughout eternity. I trust that you've been copying this down. This passage of Scripture has done more for me because I just plan to give you, first of all, Romans 5:1. And I began to study and realize that I need to give you Romans 5:2. And after I've studied Romans 5:2, I decided that for the next 3 or 4 sessions, I need to give you Romans 5:2 again, and Romans 5:3, and Romans 5:4, and Romans 5:5. Isn't that a wonderful conclusion? Hope. When saved, a person has the reality of a hope. It's what I'm calling hope one. Now, would you look at this with me, and we only spend a few moments here. When you were saved, God worked a miracle, and you had at that point of time the reality of a hope. Did you notice that I said the reality of a hope? There's a difference between potential and reality. Potential is something that is anticipated and expected, but has yet not happened. And so what we have here is that before you became a believer and became the recipient of the reality of hope one, there were some things that took place. And the things that took place were that God gave you physical life. There was the imputation of physical life. In other words, you were born. So there was the imputation of physical life. I don't know where you were born, what town you were born in. I don't know what year you were born. It doesn't really matter. There came a point of time when you were born. And there was a mom and daddy there, perhaps. And you were there. You were born. And the first thing you said to them, I want to thank you for allowing me to be here. No, you didn't do that. You know what you did? You revealed your old sinful nature real fast. But you were born. But at the time you were born physically alive and spiritually dead. Now you got to think about this. Oh, does that mean if you died day two, day three, day four, 6 weeks old, 8 weeks old, that you'd go to a place of eternal punishment? No. In other words, God knows what He's doing. Don't doubt God. Don't question God's power. God knows what He's doing. We can talk about the age of accountability, and some people say, well, you got to be 11 years of age before you be saved. I'm going to stop you, and you can't be saved until you're 11. Who said that? And someone says, a four-year-old can't be saved. Well, who said that? I don't know. But I tell you one thing. God knows. There was an imputation of human life to an eternal soul. Now, what we're going to do is let you stop and think. At the point you were born, God gave you life into your eternal soul. Every individual has an eternal soul. There are many characteristics of the soul. We could go through a description of the various characteristics of the soul, but we're not going to do that right now. I just want you to be thinking that when a person has the potential of being saved, and they're not saved yet, they haven't accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, they have life, they have an eternal soul, they are possessors of an old sinful nature. But when they accept Jesus Christ as Savior, the potential of imputed righteousness becomes the reality. And when that takes place, hope won is a reality. And that's salvation. Now, just to run ahead right quick like, if you're following me, you're going to be able to see that there's a potential one, there's a potential two, there's a potential three. Some of you years ago studied this with us. Some of you are hearing it for the first time. I'm trying to present it in a different way because I want you to see it. Potential one is salvation. The reality of potential two is experiential sanctification. And the reality of potential and reality of hope three is eternity in the presence of the Lord. We don't want to look at this too rapidly. We want to see it a little at a time. When you were saved, the potential was there. A soul that needed to be redeemed. You had, of course, Adam's original sin imputed to your old sinful nature. We'll talk about that later. The point that I'm trying to get over here is that you were born physically alive and spiritually dead. You reached the age of God awareness and God consciousness. And at that point, you were able to make a decision whether you're going to trust or not trust the Lord Jesus Christ. When you trusted Him, the reality hit and you were born into God's kingdom. And hope won became a reality. Oh, I've got page after page of information. The most important thing for me to say to you tonight is that you all here tonight, because you've accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, you have already moved through the potential of salvation to the reality of salvation, which is the consummation of hope won. Let me close tonight by putting this on the screen. Ephesians 1:17 and 18. God of our Lord Jesus Christ, Father of glory, Spirit of wisdom, Spirit of revelation, Spirit of full knowledge. When we have the ability to comprehend hope one, and we can begin to see what we dealt with at the beginning of the service tonight, how God wants us not to get off the track and have hope, confident expectation. It is then that we recognize that God is our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We will recognize Him as the Father of glory. We will recognize that He has for us a spirit of wisdom. And the Greek word is sophia, which means the application and utilization of the truth of God's Word. And then the word revelation. And that's the reason why we're going to move into the first verse of the first chapter of Revelation. Apokalypsis, a beautiful word. And then epinosis, full knowledge. But you can't appreciate Ephesians 1:17 unless you see Ephesians 1:18. Eyes of the heart enlightened, that you and I may know what? The hope of the calling, the riches of glory, the inheritance of the saints. You should go out of this auditorium tonight happier than you've ever been in your life, because you've gotten rid of the frustrations, and I've gotten rid of the frustrations and the things that would bother us, because we've been able to realize what God has in store for us. And it's tremendous. It's wonderful. It's fantastic. We've already received hope one, salvation. We're now in the process of beginning to realize all the blessings that God has for us in time. In time. The blessings that He has for us now. And that will cause us to push aside a lot of insignificant stuff and keep our eyes focused. And it says here, the eyes of the heart enlightened. Why? That you may know, understand, comprehend the hope of the calling. It's not our calling, it's His calling. The riches. We're plutocrats tonight. That's the word, plutocrat, right there. Riches of glory. And the inheritance of the saints. May we bow for a moment of prayer. Tonight, Father, we're thankful for the wonderful blessings that You have for us. We're thankful for salvation. We're thankful for life. We're thankful that we do not know exactly how long we have left on this earth, but we know that You have a purpose and a reason for us being here now. And so help us to major on the major aspects of life now and minor on the minor aspects of life. Father, there may be those who will hear this message who have never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. May they tonight be aware that when God loved, He loved the world. And when Christ died, He died and was buried and came forth out of that grave, victorious over death and hell and sin and the grave. And He will save anyone who will trust Him. And so we pray that there will be those who will do that tonight. Thank You again and again for Your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen.